The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 13, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on March 26th, 2009, in Helsinki, Finland.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, the most confidential knowledge, text number 13.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Mahatmanastumang
partha,
Daivim Purkritam Ashrita,
Bhajanyananya
Manaso,
Gyatabhutadimavyayam,
Mahatmanastumang
partha.
Dhaivim prakritam ashrita,
Bhajanyananya
manaso,
Gyatabhutadim
avyayam.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Purport. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this affected? That is explained in the seventh chapter. One who surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. And the guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So, when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There's no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma or great soul develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sudaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha
So, Krishna is describing the Mahatma. The Mahatmas in the plural form. The Mahatmas are not under the influence of the material nature. Mahatmas are situated fully in Daivi Prakriti, the divine nature. Even while being in this world, they are not in this world actually. The Mahatmas are always living in the Lord's holy abode, the holy Dham, Mayapur Dham, Vrindavan Dham. They're always living in the holy Dham. Even though they may be walking on the Helsinki streets, going here and there throughout this country or that country to spread the message of Krishna, the Mahatmas have nothing to do with this material world except to bestow blessings upon this material world. That's their only business. Otherwise, they can all go back to Godhead immediately. Why stay here in this world of birth and death where there's so much suffering, you see? Mahatmas are already qualified to go back to Godhead. But out of compassion, they stay here to induce those living entities who are still within the grips of Maya, the material nature, to induce those living entities to come back to home, back to Godhead. So this is real love, you see. In the material world, we use this word love very cheaply. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. I lust after you, I lust after you, I lust after you. Simply garbage, you see. Love does not want anything in return. Love is pure giving. So the Mahatmas, they are the personification of love. They want nothing in return. They simply want to serve, that's all. Therefore, they preach this message of Krishna consciousness. They distribute this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. This is their love. Actually, it is Krishna's love. The Mahatmas are the delivery boys. for Krishna's love, like DHL. It is Krishna's love. They are simply bringing the love of Krishna.
Sangsara dava nadalita loka tranayakari yunogana ganatvam.
This material world is a blazing fire of material existence. But these Mahatmas, they are like the cloud in the sky that brings the water from the ocean and rains it down upon the land. It is all Krishna's mercy, actually. But these Mahatmas, they bring this mercy from Krishna. And they distribute it without any discrimination. Whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Finnish, whether you're British, whatever you may be. Without any discrimination, these Mahatmas, just like the rain falls everywhere, doesn't discriminate between a parking lot and a farmer's field. Every place gets the rain. So the Mahatmas, they're like rain clouds, distributing that mercy of Krishna, profuse rainfall of mercy. They are distributing upon the parched desert-like hearts of the persons of this Kali Yuga. So how much indebted we are to these Mahatmas. They are saving us from a hellish condition in this cycle of breath and death. How much indebted we are to these Mahatmas. I remember many years ago, when I was a young brahmachari, we had our Christmas marathon distributing the books, and our temple president drove us beyond, it seemed beyond reason, distributed books. All hours of the day, practically 24 hours a day, we were distributing books. I remember I was so tired, I would take rest during the Prema Dhvani prayer. It was so austere. He was pushing it, distribute books. It was such an austerity. But then after it was over, a letter came from Prabhupada, and he quoted this verse. He was calling us Mahatmas out of his mercy. We knew we were simply a bunch of Dharatmas, but Prabhupada is encouraging us. He's calling us Mahatmas. He wrote a wonderful letter about these devotees who had done the Sankirtan marathon, quoting this very verse. So actually it's a fact, those devotees who dedicate their lives to preaching, they are Mahatmas, actually. Prabhupada recognized, yes, they are Mahatmas, who fully dedicate their lives, sacrificing their personal comforts, their personal convenience, completely, totally sacrifice their lives to help the poor souls of this planet. Prabhupada acknowledges them as Mahatmas. So, what do you do if you're a Dharatma, an unhappy Dharatma? What do you do? How do you get out of the Dharatma consciousness? How do you become a Mahatma? Prabhupada said, such Mahatmas are great soul, developed through association with other Mahatmas. So you just have to associate with Mahatmas. You have to find out where are the Mahatmas and associate with those Mahatmas, serve them, hear from them, learn from them. In this way, by Mahatma Sangha, associating with Mahatma, you become Mahatma, you see. So this ISKCON movement, it is Mahatma movement. Actually, our family business is to produce Mahatmas. This is like when I go to Vrindavan, I go to one shop in Loy Bazaar called Ganga Prasad. Some of you may know that shop. I have them make my kurta. I go there for many years, and their business is going on for many generations. That is a family business, clothing business, you see. So their family business is clothing, and our family business is manufacturing Mahatman. This is our family business, you see. We come in a line of Mahatmas. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gorka Shardas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you see. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. These are great, great, great Mahatmas. And their vision for this movement that is started by Prabhupada, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, their vision of this movement is a movement full of Mahatmas who are making Mahatmas in every town and village throughout this entire planet. So, we invite all of you who have come tonight. We thank you all very, very much for coming. Some faces I'm seeing for the first time. I come twice a year to this wonderful outpost in the northern region to get inspired by the Mahatmas here. And I see some new faces here tonight. So I'm very happy to see new faces. Kindly take this very, very seriously, this Krishna consciousness process. This is your culture, the Indian culture. This is your culture. We are foreigners. We have adopted it by the mercy of a great Mahatma. So it is your birth. It is your duty, actually, to become Mahatma. Not that you have one Mahatma only, Mahatma Gandhi, but he was, according to one notable person, Gandhiji was a saint amongst the politicians and a politician amongst the saints. He was mixed position. He was a great statesman, but he wasn't fully sadhu. He was halfway politician and halfway sadhu. So, the real duty of Indians, they become full-on Mahatman. Full-on Mahatman, not halfway Mahatman. Full-on. That doesn't mean you have to live in the ashram, become brahmachari. No, whatever your ashram, you may be householder, whatever you may be, you remain in your ashram, but you make Krishna the center of your life. That, my dear Lord Krishna, He is my Lord and Master. I'm His eternal servant. I want to fully dedicate my life in His service. So in this way, and then whenever there is opportunity, you share the message of Krishna. You see, this is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, by surrendering to Krishna and spreading the word of Krishna at every opportune moment, you become Mahatma. It is a simple thing, not difficult. You simply absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. Every day you chant Hare Krishna, you read these wonderful books, Bhagavad Gita as it is, and you tell people at every opportune moment about Krishna. In this way, you become Mahatma. As a married man, as a married woman, as a single man, a single woman, whatever you may be, you simply make Krishna the center, and at every opportune moment you tell others about Krishna. Is that difficult? Whenever there is opportunity, you tell about Krishna, you see. And as soon as you are in that mood, Krishna will give so many opportunities. You'll be amazed. As soon as you become eager to spread the word of Krishna, Krishna will give so many, many opportunities. Just like the other day, I was on the airplane and I woke up. I was flying from London to Delhi. And I woke up on the plane and the man across the aisle, he said, "Can you tell me, give me a Krishna conscious realization for the day?" As we were flying into Delhi. He wanted to hear some Krishna conscious realization to start his day off. So I told him, I said, the whole world is suffering due to lack of Krishna consciousness, and our duty is we must give them Krishna. He was so happy to hear them. That made his day, you see. To start off with a Krishna conscious realization upon waking up on the airplane. (Clears throat)
So in this way, if we can become very, very serious to become Mahatma by associating with Mahatmas, and to help others become Mahatma also, then there can become great happiness throughout this world, this troubled world, which is so much besieged with climatic problems, economic problems, terrorism problems. I mean, how many problems are going on? The AIDS problem, I mean, just one problem, after another problem, the pollution problem, you know, the whole world's becoming a garbage dump. It's just one problem after another. There's toothbrushes floating in the ocean now, you know, from when they put the garbage in. Off Japan, there's huge areas of garbage floating in the ocean where they turn the ocean into a garbage dump. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. We're producing all these consumer goods that are not biodegradable, and we're just dumping them everywhere, turning the whole planet into a garbage dump gradually, you see. Actually, they have the technology to make things that are biodegradable, but because it's not economically profitable, it's not happening. And the governments are run by the capitalists, actually. They run the governments behind the scenes. Just like there's a toothbrush now made out of cornstarch. You can put the toothbrush in the earth and it'll just merge back in. It's made out of cornstarch instead of plastic. But it's more expensive than a plastic toothbrush. So nobody will buy it. You see, and the government doesn't mandate that we put a control on all this excessive waste that doesn't biodegrade properly back into the earth. So there's so many problems going on. Just one example. There's no religious government on this planet right now. It's all under the, behind the scene, the capitalists are pulling the strings, these politicians. So, the whole thing is going on running on the energy of greed. Greed is the energy which is running the modern day society. Greed, simple greed. And that's why people are not happy. Greed does not satisfy. It may appear to satisfy in the beginning, but in the end, you become simply miserable. So, instead of basing a society on greed, we should base it on what people actually need. Set up the society, set up the world situation in such a way that people get their basic necessities, economic necessities, material necessities, psychological necessities, and spiritual necessities. Set up the society in such a way that everyone gets their necessities. There's plenty of facility to give everybody what they need, but not what they greed. There's plenty of facility that everybody can be totally satisfied. No one has to go hungry. No one has to be living in some, you know, like in India, they take some garbage plastic and they make a home out of it. No one has to be living in a piece of garbage. Everyone can be living nicely and eating nicely. If we can base a society on what then people need to be happy, instead of basing it on gratifying a few rich people's greed, you see. So, this Krishna consciousness formula, it is the perfect formula to give everyone what they need to be happy. All you have to do to be happy is become a Mahatma. It's that simple. Give up the crippled, greedy, miserly mentality of Duratma and become Mahatma, one who is eager and happy simply to chant Satatang Kirtayanto Mam. He's happy simply to be in Krishna consciousness 24 hours daily. That's all he needs. Some simple economic necessities, that's all right. And plenty of kirtan, plenty of prasadam, nice Krishna conscious association. That's all he needs to be happy. So I thank you very much for kindly hearing. I can ask now if there are some questions.
Ramuji, thank you for your class. I would like to ask that what is the best way to associate with the Mahatma?
The best way to associate with Mahatma is submissive, hear for them submissively and serve them with love. And if you have no love, serve them as if you love them. And by just be polite, be respectful, even if you don't feel any love, then just serve them as if you love them, and the loving feelings will gradually come out, because the pure love is in the heart of everyone. Everyone has pure love within their heart for Krishna, God, and for all living beings. Everyone has pure love within their heart. But it's simply buried beneath millions of layers of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So if one will dutifully act according to the guidance from the scriptures, the spiritual master, and the saintly teachers, then that natural love within the heart, that will become manifest. That will be the sadhana bhakti process extracts the natural original loving sentiments within the heart of the living entity. So that his genuine love for the Mahatmas will manifest, and then there's no question of, you know, what am I supposed to do? What am I not supposed to do? If you love someone, you'll know exactly what to do. Just like Prabhupada said, the first class servant, he knows what to do without being told, because he has love, you see, for the spiritual master. Second class, he does what he's told very nicely, but he has to be told, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. He has to be given a list, all the details. He can't figure it out very much on his own. His spontaneous love has not manifested. He's trying sincerely, but he has to be told everything. In the third class, well, even if he's told, he doesn't do properly. You see? So we have to at least be very obedient. Whatever instructions my guru gives me, whatever instructions my spiritual leaders are giving me, I should faithfully execute those instructions. And then by that, gradually I'll come to the first class platform. I'll know what to do just because I have genuine loving feeling. I want to please my guru. I want to please the devotees because I love them. Then I will naturally do everything right. Without having to be told, do this, don't do that. Any other questions? Question? No question? Yes.
Prabhu, how the common man can serve Lord Krishna?
How the common man can serve Lord Krishna? Patram pushpam palam tayam yome bhakta prayachati tadahang bhakyaparitam mashnami priyatatmanaha. Krishna explained, if you will offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept. So even a poor man, he can get some water somewhere. He can offer that to Krishna. He can keep a picture of Krishna, have an altar, and every day he can, in the morning and evening, he can change Krishna's water, fresh water for Krishna twice a day. In the morning upon rising, fresh water for Krishna. And at night before taking rest, fresh water for Krishna. Any poor man can bring a glass of water for God, you see. And then he can bring some, if he has some flowers, he can bring some flowers also. And he can cultivate Tulsi plant also. If possible, even here, they're keeping Tulsi very nicely. In the cold northern climate still, they're keeping Tulsi very, very nicely. So when you make some offering to the Lord, vegetarian foodstuffs, you can offer the Tulsi leaf. Krishna is very, very pleased. He may not accept your offering, because what we can cook compared to how Radharani can cook. But when he sees that Tulsi leaf, oh, he'll take whatever you offer. Whether it's first class, second class, what can we do? We're not like Radharani. We can't cook like Radharani. But that Tulsi leaf, oh, there's Tulsi leaf. Yes, I will accept. You see. So you can keep Tulsi plant in your home, and then when you cook something, you make
put the tulsi leaf on the plate, and then they have a special plate for Krishna. It's only Krishna's plate. No one else eats off that plate except for Krishna. Get a nice fancy plate and make that Krishna's plate. So whatever you eat, you first make a plate for Krishna. He is your guest of honor in the home. So you feed Krishna very nicely. You bow down, you say some prayers, you can chant Hare Krishna. Or the devotees can teach you some mantras. And you can make a nice offering to Krishna of all your food, you see. In this way, just by offering your food to Krishna, offering some water to Krishna, offering the tulsi leaf, if you do it with love, then Krishna will accept. And you will feel how you have a personal relationship with God, how He is reciprocating your love. You'll feel, when you give your love to Him, you'll feel how He is giving His love to you, and you'll feel so happy and satisfied. Any other questions? Yeah.
How to chant the holy name with affection?
Yes, this is a very nice question. How to chant the holy name with affection? One of my students just wrote me today. I just answered her email today on the airplane. She was saying sometimes she'll chant, and it's, in the beginning it's a little rough, there's not much taste, but then after she gets going it becomes so sweet. But near the end she's thinking, when is this going to be over with anyway? So this is natural for a neophyte devotee. Sometimes the holy name is very, very sweet. Sometimes it's, well, what can I say? It's austere to chant. We'd rather sleep or take some prasadam or chit-chat with one of the other devotees. Do something besides chant, you see. Sometimes it's austerity to chant. But the key is, whether you're relishing the nectar of the holy name or whether you're not relishing the nectar, just keep chanting. Do your duty. Chant at least 16 rounds every day without fail, which is Prabhupada's order. Chant at least 16 rounds every day dutifully. Taste or no taste, doesn't matter. In other words, taste means affection. Affection means taste. When you're feeling love for the holy name, when you're feeling love for Krishna, then the taste will be there. So, dutifully chant. Try to avoid the 10 offenses. Be very respectful to the Vaishnavas. They are representatives of the holy name. In this way, by dutifully chanting your prescribed number of mantras every day, 16 rounds, then that natural affection, which is there buried within the heart, will become manifest. And you will gradually, gradually come out of the fog of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. You gradually enter that dimension where one utterance of a holy name, where the holy name is oozing with each, even one syllable of the holy name is oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar. You gradually achieve that stage. It's already there, just very deep. It's like you're in the desert and the water is, you don't see any water anywhere, but if you drill deep, 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 deep into the earth, you will hit water. You understand? You will hit water. So that pure affection for the holy name, it is there. You already have. But you have to keep drilling, 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 drilling. 16 rounds of drilling every day. Drilling, drilling, drilling. Boring down into your heart. You see? To reach that pure affection for the name which is there within. When gradually, gradually, if you dutifully chant without fail every day, at least 16 rounds, then that pure love, that pure affection for the name, it will become manifest. And you'll taste unlimited nectar every time you say Hare Krishna. Every time you say it, I just get... become more sweet, more sweet, more sweet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any other questions? Nothing. Everyone's ready now for prasadam. Yes.
Another question which is not directly connected with the class, kind of is that how to achieve the platform of Avyar Takalatvam or not wasting any time?
Of what platform?
Not wasting any time.
Not wasting time?
Yeah.
You have to pray for the mercy of Rupa Goswami. Nowadays, in the corporate world, time management is a buzzword. The corporate, the CEOs bring in these time management consultants to teach the workers how to manage their time. In other words, they don't want the workers to waste even 1 minute of time. They want to squeeze as much work out of the workers as they can at every second. So they teach them time management. You see? So there's many time management gurus out there who charge corporations hefty fees to come in and train all the employees in time management. But actually the original guru of time management is Srila Rupa Goswami. He taught this principle, do not waste a single moment. In Krishna's service, do not waste a single moment. That means you should always see at every minute that my time is not being wasted. If you're on an airplane getting ready to take off, instead of reading the in-flight magazine, pull out your scripture, you see. Learn some verses. The point is, use every minute in Krishna consciousness. Don't take any time off from Krishna consciousness. You may say, but that sounds rather draconian. But no. Actually, that's where the nectar is. Whenever we get out of Krishna consciousness, we're getting out into the world of misery once again. So why should we foolishly try to mix misery and bliss? Why not just go for pure bliss? So we should always come back to this point of Krishna consciousness. You think, well, the Prabhupada is sitting beside me right now. Wouldn't he be pleased with what I'm doing? One time the devotees were riding on the train to Switzerland with Prabhupada. All this beautiful scenery. The devotees were, while they were going, wow, look at that. They're all like, wow, isn't that great? And Prabhupada just sitting there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And after a while the devotees saw Prabhupada, they felt rather embarrassed, you know. They were so carried away by the scenery, you know. And Prabhupada was just, he was relishing the holy name, and they were just carried away by the material nature. So in this way, we have to be sober, you know. We have to be sober. Always keep ourselves fixed in Krishna consciousness. Always be watchful, you know. Is this thought in my mind that I have right now, is this pleasing to my guru? Is this pleasing to Krishna that I'm thinking this way? Is it? Would this thought be pleasing to my Guru Maharaj? If he could see what's in my mind right now, would I be embarrassed or would he be proud of me that my disciple is nicely engaged in Krishna consciousness? You see, in this way, be very introspective. All right, this is the last one.
You said that we should always check the mind. So what do we have to do if we find there is some thought which is not so pleasing to the spiritual master?
If we have some thoughts that are not pleasing?
Yes.
Then you have to remember Bhagavad Gita. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalamastaram tatastata nayam yaita datman yivisham niye. From whatever or wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So I thank you all very much for so kindly hearing these words of wisdom from the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.